And now this morning, I want you to turn with me to the prophecy of Isaiah, the man who was the statesman among all the prophets, Isaiah chapter 55, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 6, and then I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 30, and I'm going to read verse 21. Isaiah chapter 55, and then Isaiah chapter 30, a companion verse of Scripture in the 30th chapter to what we're going to read in chapter 55. And may I ask you again to be faithful to Christ by attending the Sunday evening worship service, by showing your colors to your community, and letting them know without question what you stand for and who you are and why you are what you are. For everybody that sees your life and mine gets an impression of some kind of Christ through our conduct. Let's be faithful to Him. Before we read Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 6, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we ask that as we shall read Thy Word, the Holy Spirit would quicken our hearts and minds, and that the Holy Spirit would erase from our thinking any, even the minutest, the smallest thing that would hinder this service. Some who need the Savior, some who need the shelter and fellowship of this church, may they come today to identify with it and with Christ. And some, Heavenly Father, who need to make a brand new start, to forsake the past, to move out of the present and project themselves, as it were, into the future by faith, to walk all the days of their lives with Thee, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, that is, without profit, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Then the 21st verse of chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Remember in the 55th chapter, God said, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. And ye shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it." If ever there was a time when we needed a clear-cut path in which to walk, in which to lead our families, in which our nation should walk and our city should walk and our land and all the world, it's in the midst of the 20th century. It's today. There have been a lot of ways offered to man. Philosophy has its way. The philosophers would tell us to reason our way into the right kind of conduct. But this has always failed. The educators tell us to learn our way into the proper relationship with God, but this has never worked. The politicians, the men in government will tell us that what we need is a strong government by the people, for the people, and working in and through the people. And I'm in favor of a government by the people and for the people. But government does not have the answer to the ills of 1969. All of these ways are dark and gloomy. All of these ways have a dead end. All of them lead only to fear and frustration without God. The wisest philosopher who ever lived, his name was King Solomon. What a wonderful man he was. He was not only a philosopher, but he was a scientist, a botanist, an agriculturist. He was a painter, a poet, a writer, a musician. He was just about anything that you could name. God said he was the wisest man upon the earth. And Solomon said, "I've tried the ways of wine and wealth and wisdom, but I must come to this conclusion, that everything under the sun is empty and vain and void and without profit." I think he summed it up fairly well when he said in chapter 14 and verse 12 of the book of Proverbs, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Then I think his father before him, David, put it straight when he said in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 6, "The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I submit to you on Father's Day 1969 that the only way for us to travel through this war-torn world, a world that has tasted the bitter cup of sorrow and tragedy and sin and sensuality, a world that is rocking and reeling like a man drunk with alcohol, a world that does not have the proper perspective today, a world that is upside down, a world that is sick, very sick, a world that is mad, very mad. The only way for us to travel through this world is to go by the way of the cross. For the way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. I'm going to tell you your way, mister. Your way is not sufficient. You best be walking in the ways of God, for His ways are higher than yours, and His thoughts surpass yours. And what this world needs today is an old-fashioned revival. I almost got sick to my stomach about 5:30 this morning. It wasn't from anything I ate last night either, but it was from listening to the radio. You ought to listen to the radio early in the morning. This is a CBS program, Religion Today. And some of the ideas and some of the philosophies and some of the things that some of our religious leaders are trying to do to the church, they are trying to make the church reform society through handout programs and through this and that and the other. When my Bible tells me, and this is Mission Sunday, that the only mission of this church is to evangelize the world. And I do not believe, nor do I believe that you think that we ought to sit idly by and let others stand up and tell the world what the church is trying to do through reforming society and through this program or that program, and us be mute and quiet. When we have the truth, let's get it out all over the world. Oh, we need God's way this morning. God's way is a holy way. God's way is an upward way, a heavenly way, a happy way. Only God's way meets the needs of 1969. My subject is simply my Father's way. And there are three areas of thinking that I want you to notice with me today. First of all, my Father's way leads me to a full realization of what life is all about. You know, some people live a whole lifetime and never know what life is about. But God's book and God's way leads us to an absolute, complete, and full realization of what life is all about. For you see, God has a purpose in the life of every individual. Every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world today, all more than 3 billion of them, each one has some role to play in life. Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, "I am not bound to win, but I am bound to be true. I am not bound to succeed, but I am bound to live up to what light I have. I must stand with anybody that stands right, stand with him while he is right, and part with him when he is wrong." You know, we need some of that philosophy in the 20th century. In your life, may I remind you, in Mr. Lincoln's words, you are not bound to win by the standards of this world, but you are bound by the teaching of God's word and your relationship to him to be true. You are not bound to succeed as the world measures success, but you are bound to win the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he has become our victorious Savior. And all we need do today is to appropriate by faith the victory that Jesus has already won. You see, the devil is already a defeated enemy. He doesn't know it yet. I wish somebody would hurry and tell him. But he's a defeated enemy. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Jesus said, "Have faith in God." I think that God was wise when he grouped us into families. We can rejoice that we can enjoy family relationships. May I address myself this moment to the fathers in this house? This is Father's Day, and I want to tell you that God's way is good enough for Daddy. I read in the book of Genesis chapter 18, God said about Abraham, "Shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham is a man who will bless out of his seed the nations of earth." No, God said, "I'm not going to hide it from Abraham, and here's why. For I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after me, and they, mother and daddy and children, shall keep the way of the Lord." Paul said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord." And Daddy, let me tell you this morning, you cannot escape your responsibility. Don't think for one moment that you can just shove it off for the wife and children. It is your responsibility to bring your family through the church to heaven. And for you precious wives and mothers whose husbands and fathers of the home are not as interested as they ought to be, could I pledge myself to you again, afresh and anew on this Father's Day? The best of my ability as your pastor, I will try to guide and lead and help you any way that I can. For if husband is not willing to do it, wife has got to do it. Mother must do it. Please, mother, I beg you, don't let down because daddy does. Because your children will live to see the day when they'll look back at your life and say, "Daddy let me down, but mother didn't." For God's way is good enough for mother too. I think about the mother of Samuel. She prayed for a male child and God gave her a boy. And she went up to the temple one day, like many of you precious mothers have done and will do. And she said, "I asked the Lord for a male child and God gave me a boy. Now I am going to lend him back to the Lord all the days of his life." God's way, mother, is good enough for you. And children and young people, let me address myself to you for a moment. God's way is the best way for you. I know the world says come and go our way. Don't be a square. Don't be an oddball. But if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to be odd in some ways, as far as the world is concerned. But God's way, children, and God's way, young people, is good enough for you. I think about young David, who with just one stone and a sling slew a giant. And you young people can slay some giants too. I rejoiced last Sunday night when Brother Jack Montgomery shared with me the experience and testimony of his grandson. Some of the young people, of course, as this goes, were writing in his annual, his yearbook at school. I think he's 15 years old. And one of the boys in particular said to him in his yearbook, "I appreciate the different things that you've done for me. But most of all, I appreciate the fact that you've led me to Jesus Christ." And he told me that they were looking over through his application for future life and future study. And it had down then, they knew nothing about this. His parents didn't know it. Occupation. And he wrote down minister. He might be the next pastor of this church, you can tell. You never know what God has in store. But I'm saying this, that God's way is good enough for the young people. Out yonder in one of our hospitals today, one of our finest young ladies, flat of her back. And she told me that anything that I could share with this congregation, she'd be happy for me to share it. I'm talking about Betty Record. Most of you know her. And most of you know that many months ago, I stood right there and at the close of a service, I said, "I am praying that God would raise up somebody out of this church to be a missionary." And Betty Record said to me just the other day on Friday, she said, "Preacher, God answered your prayer in my life. And I gave my life to Christ and I surrendered to missions." But she said, "You know, preacher, I thought I could take my life into my own hands. And I thought I could rule my life the way I wanted to rule it. And I could do what I wanted to do. And I forgot momentarily what I promised God." And she said, "Preacher, I'm here by a miracle of God's grace. And if you could see the automobile that she was in the wreck of, you'd say she was here by a miracle." She said, "Preacher, I'm so glad God allowed this accident to come. Because now," she said, "I know that my life is not my own. I must enroll in school. I must go to the mission field. I must do what God wants me to do. Young people, if you're a Christian, and this goes for mother and daddy too, your life is not your own. Now you say, but preacher, I can do with my life what I want to. But God's going to take care of that want to. You can't do with your life what you want to. When you were saved, you became Christ. You're His. God's way will lead you to the full realization of what life is all about. What is life all about? I submit to you that life for the Christian is living for Jesus. Amen. The poet put it this way. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. Living for Jesus is the pathway of blessing for me. That's what life is all about. And God's way will lead you to the full realization of what this thing we call life is all about. Secondly, my Father's way leads me to the very best in life. Did you hear what I said? My Father's way leads me to the very best things in life. That may sound like an overstatement. Some of you might ask, but preacher, how could my husband's tragic death be the best for me? How could the loss of my son be the best for my life? I'm brokenhearted. How could the loss of my companion or the loss of my mother or father be the best for me? I'll tell you how. You must view everything in your life in the light of one blessed verse of Scripture. And most of you know what it is. Romans 8:28. And we know. Did you get that? Paul didn't say we think so. Perhaps, maybe, perchance. Paul said, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that are, what? Who love the Lord. Do you really love Him? That answers the question. Who are called according to His purpose. Do you mean to tell me that everything that happens to me is good? I didn't say that. Paul didn't say that. Paul said all things work together for our good. There's a whole lot of difference there. Everything that happens, we must relate to Romans 8:28. Not only that, but we must relate everything that happens to us to our overall pattern of life. You can't judge your life by one event that happens. Or in some cases, life would be a complete failure. We must bring them all together. And they are woven together by the grace of God, and a divinely inspired needle is weaving the parts of your life and mine together as a finished product before Him. Don't leave out the bitter, the sorrow, the tragedy. Put that over against the good, the sweet, the comforting. And Paul says, all things work together. God's way leads me to the best in life. No one knew this any better than Job. For you see, Job lost 7 sons and 3 daughters. He lost them by marauding armies. He lost them in lightning, in thunder, in hurricanes. Tragically, they were all killed. 7 sons and 3 daughters. But Job said, He knoweth the way I take. Job said, The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And again Job said, Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Even if he kills me, I'm going to trust him. In life, in death, for time and eternity, today and tomorrow, trust him. Though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. You want to know who had the sorrow and tragedy in life? Read the book of Job. And yet he came forth triumphant to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And in the latter day he shall stand upon the earth. And though after this skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. God's way leads you to the best in life. Although God's way might lead us through the long night of sorrow and tragedy and suffering and sacrifice and loneliness, may I remind you, we find relief in the morning. For the psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's sorrow in your life today. This is nighttime for some of you. I know it. The lights are shining bright. The sun is out, but it's nighttime. But let me tell you that as sure as there's a night of sorrow, there's going to be a morning of joy. Children of Israel spent a long night in slavery in Egypt. But the morning of freedom came. Our own great nation spent a long night in revolutionary war. But in the morning, independence came. I hope you'll understand this next statement. God himself spent a long night the day that Jesus was crucified. And they carried him down to the new-made tomb and planted him there in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. It was a long night for God. It was his darling son, his only son. But they killed him. They crucified him. They buried him. But on the morning of the third day, resurrection came. You're going through that long night, but resurrection is coming. Sorrow is here tonight, but joy comes in the morning. Oh, my friend, if I could just get you to see that God has a purpose in everything that happens in your life. I want to remind you who've given up loved ones in death, after death is the resurrection. But some will ask why. Why did it have to happen to me? What was God doing? Where was God when my loved one was killed? When my home was broken up? When sorrow came into my life? Where was God? I've shared this with you before, but I think it's so appropriate at this moment. A man came to his pastor, a man whose son had been killed in a car wreck. And wringing his hands, he said to his pastor, Pastor, tell me, where was God? Where was God when my son was killed in that car? And that pastor said, Mister, he was the same place he was when his son was killed on that cross. Oh, but you say, preacher, that was in the long ago. But mine is recent. The wounds are still open. I still sorrow. Let me help you. The same God who lived long ago lives today. Again, in my hospital visiting this week, I talked with one of our fine ladies, Mrs. Gail Smith, who's had a long siege of illness. And she said, preacher, I'm so glad it's come because I feel so much closer to God. I've learned so many things. Earl Crowder said to me the other day, preacher, I don't know why, but I know God's got a purpose in this. 4 long weeks today, and no better than he was then. He said, I know God has got a purpose in it. I'm telling you that God's way will lead you to the best for your life. You know what most of us do? We bring our burdens to the Lord, unburden ourselves. Here we come to the Lord now with all of our burdens. We bring them to the Lord and put them down on the altar, on the Lord. And then we turn around to go back home and pick our burdens back up and take them back with us. But the old song says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. For he says to us, cast all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Brother, this is something that I can feel good about this morning. For I know that God's way is going to lead me to the best for my life. For I know God doesn't make any mistakes. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark, and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. I'm indebted to Mrs. Graham's mother for this little poem. And she's written out in a handwriting that bespeaks age. And she said, oh, how true this is to me. You can make it true to you. God doesn't make any mistakes. God knows and does what is best. Though the nights seem long and the problems seem heavy and the sorrow too much to bear, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He wants you to do it. For my Father's way leads me to the best in life. One final thought. My Father's way not only leads me to the full realization of what life is all about. My Father's way not only leads me to the best that's in life for me. But I'm going to give you a happy note. My Father's way leads me to that eternal home above. I'm glad that we're not earthbound creatures. One day, when all the battles of life are over, when we've shed the last tear, gone the last mile, fought the last battle, when we have labored under the last load of sorrow and tragedy and heartache, we're going to take leave from this world, and we're going home. Home to be with God. Home to see our loved ones who've gone before. Home to sit down by the river of life and talk it over with them. Home to see Jesus. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no heartache to bear, joyously singing, with heart bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? God's way will lead you to that eternal home in the sky. Let us bow for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the way of the cross, the way that leads home. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for all of the things that have come in our lives. Some of them are bitter, some of them are distasteful. Some of them bring tragedy, heartache, sorrow, lonely nights, tears to our eyes. Dear God, help us to look to that day that John tells us about in the Revelation when Jesus Christ is coming and Thou hast promised to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There shall be no more death, no more accidents, no more tragedies, no more heartaches, no more burdens to bear. Dear God, I pray that every one of us here this morning would make our steps in the heavenly way, thy way, the holy way, the only way. Bless daddies here today to lead the right way for their family. Bless mothers and wives and children and young people to walk the heavenly way, to know that when all is said and done, Jesus Christ is ours forevermore. May we walk in His way, is our prayer, in His name.